Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with revelations in the UK Guardian that a government secret order issued in April gave the National Security Agency blanket authority to collect phone records on Americans in a continuing surveillance regime that has been going on for the last 7 years. Michelle Richardson, legislative counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union Washington Legislative Office, joins us to discuss the nature and scope of this activity and its implications for our civil liberties. Then, with Austria now withdrawing its UN peacekeepers from the Golan Heights after two of its soldiers were wounded, we will look into growing tensions between Syria and Israel, whose long-standing agreement to keep the peace on this contested border appears to be in tatters. Asher Kaufman, a professor of history and peace studies at Notre Dame University and author of Contested Frontier, Cartography, Sovereignty, and Conflict at the Syria-Lebanon-Israel Tri-Border Region, joins us to discuss the widening conflict in Syria. Then finally, we will speak with Nina Krusheva, a professor in the Graduate Program of International Affairs at the New School. She joins us to discuss the announcement today by Mr. and Mrs. Putin that their 30-year marriage is over and that the divorce was civilized. We will also discuss Putin's escalating crackdown on dissent and the high-profile exit of prominent Russians fleeing Putin's Russia, which is becoming more oppressive with the return of Soviet-era Stalinist show trials. And joining us now is Michelle Richardson, who is a legislative counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union Washington Legislative Office, focusing on national security issues such as the Patriot Act, warrantless surveillance and state secrets, open government and congressional accountability and oversight. Before coming to the ACLU, Michelle Richardson served as counsel to Representative John Conyers, Jr., and the House Judiciary Committee, where she specialized in national security, civil and human rights, and constitutional issues for the Democratic staff. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michelle Richardson.
Thank you for having me.
And this Guardian story that they broke, obviously from a leak, really has got the White House in a tizzy, and they've got a bunch of senators coming to the defense of the government snooping on the phone records of American citizens and strong-arming Verizon into complying with their FISA court order. So, you know, we keep hearing more and more of this stuff, and it's not going away. So if you don't mind, put this in the context of all of the other stories that are coming out now about wiretapping the AP, et cetera. So is this more indication that this is unusually zealous government in terms of protecting its secrets, which it's clearly not doing a very good job?
Yes, this is another example of the government overreaching in the post-9/11 era and using very intrusive national security tools to collect very sensitive information on people who aren't suspected of doing something wrong. This specific tool that they're using right now is called the 215 order, because it was Section 215 of the Patriot Act, which said that they could go to a secret court and get an order for any tangible thing that they deemed relevant to an investigation. And they didn't even have to assert that it had to do with terrorism or the records belong to a terrorist or spy. And for the first time, we're seeing what one of these orders looks like, and it's incredibly broad. It's getting all the customer records from this Verizon subsidiary without asserting anyone did anything wrong. And we now have statements from the Senate Intelligence Committee that this program has been going on for 7 years. And this is just a matter of course, and they are doing these dragnet collections as part of their day-to-day business.
So specifically, the order that the Guardian newspaper has found out about from the FISA court, it ran from April 25 to July the 19th. So you're saying that it's also been going on for, 7 years?
Yes. Chairman Feinstein and Ranking Member Chambliss said today at a press conference that this program has been going on for 7 years, and these orders are just reissued every 3 months for the same information. So it's a continual, almost sort of wiretap for these records. Every day, the company has to turn over all of these records to the NSA, and they've been doing it for years.
So should we therefore assume that AT&T is doing the same thing? I mean, it wouldn't make any sense, would it, for the government just to go after the phone records of one company if people that they allegedly looking for would have the ability to use the other phones, another phone service?
That's correct. Since we now have confirmation that they're not actually targeting terrorists or spies and just doing bulk suspicionless collection of these records, it stands to reason that they're going to the Eller telecoms, but also probably email service providers and internet service providers too. They could then put together all that information. It's incredibly sensitive, despite the administration saying, you know, this isn't the content of a communication, it's just a record. That sort of belies how sensitive these records are these days, especially ones that reflect your internet activity, which can say a lot about your religious faith or your financial situation or your marital status and who you associate with and who you speak to. And that is the concern about these sorts of broad dragnet collection programs.
So one thing that seems to be going on here in terms of going after the AP and, in effect, what the government appears to be doing is because they can't keep secrets, they're beating up on the press for receiving the secrets as opposed to finding, in order to find the person who leaked the secrets. And it seems an incredibly crude tool to violate the First Amendment of the Constitution because you can't keep your house in order. That's the way I see it, at least.
Yeah, and it's a shame, too, because over the last decade, these sorts of programs have been operating in complete secrecy, and there hasn't been meaningful oversight or public buy-in to these approaches. And it's only through leaks like this that the public is informed of what the government is doing, the information the government is collecting on them.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Michelle Richardson, Legislative Counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union Washington Legislative Office, where she focuses on national security issues such as the Patriot Act, warrantless surveillance and state secrets, open government, and congressional accountability and oversight. Before coming to the ACLU, Michelle Richardson served as counsel to Representative John Conyers Jr. and the House Judiciary Committee, where she specialized in national security, civil and human rights, and constitutional issues for the Democratic staff. So, if this has been going on for 7 years, one of the things that happened during the Bush administration, which still we haven't really gotten to the bottom of, was the famous incident that happened towards the end of the first Bush term, where John Ashcroft was on a hospital bed about to undergo an operation, and he transferred the authority of Attorney General to his Deputy Attorney General, James Comey, and the White House counsel, Gonzalez, and Andrew Card, the chief of staff, came to Ashcroft's hospital bed and tried to get him, while he was, you know, drugged, to sign over an extension of some kind of wiretap or surveillance regime that Ashcroft did not want to resume. And it was so bad and so egregious that both Comey and the head of the FBI, who showed up in the hospital room, threatened to resign if this was extended. We don't know what it was that they're extending. What we do know now, of course, is that Comey's been named as the next director of the FBI. So what does that tell us about the Obama White House? On the one hand, they seem to be putting in a guy that cares about the Constitution. At the same time, we still don't know what the hell they were up to back in the Bush days.
Right, and Comey does have to go through hearings and confirmation in the next couple of months before the end of the current FBI director's term in September, and we would really hope that Congress would use this opportunity to push him to further explain what that program was about, whether it actually ceased or whether it continued in some form, and perhaps is it this program that we're now finding out about through these released court orders that are directing the companies to turn over all of the data that they contain on their customers. This would be a very opportune time to push that. There's also going to be a hearing next week before the House Judiciary Committee. It was pre-planned, a general oversight hearing with the director of the FBI. So hopefully that will be an opportunity to drive out more information on this program.
So what's your sense, since Michelle Richardson, since this is your bailiwick, if you will. This is the area that you watch, and you're an advocate for the Constitution and for the civil rights of all American citizens. How do you see this as in terms of the accumulation of all these stories we've been getting?
You know, I think this is a very disturbing continuation of the immediate post-9/11 policies, and they don't seem to be slowing down in any way, even though a lot of the immediate threats have been addressed. And we had hopes that the situation would correct itself and that over time, as things calm down a bit, cooler heads would prevail and we would go back to respecting privacy a little more. But that hasn't happened. And we're now into the second term of the second administration and these programs continue unabated. And this is really just one small piece, and that's the other sad part, one small piece of the overall surveillance structure. You know, they have wiretaps, they have national security letters, they have the new warrantless wiretapping program that was approved in 2008. And so this is really just one little tip of the iceberg we're getting to see here.
Well, there was such a flap a number of years ago when Admiral Poindexter, famous for the Iran-Contra scandal, proposed to the Pentagon, you know, as a contractor, or as they refer to them in your part of the world, a Beltway bandit, that he had this idea of a total information awareness program where the government could have the ability to literally snoop on all of the electronic activities of a citizen, meaning that every time you swipe your credit card, whatever books you pulled out of the library, whatever magazines you subscribed to, what phone calls you made, what emails you made. Now, of course, it extends to Facebook and Twitter and you name it. And that all of this will somehow be collated by the government and they'd have the ability to essentially do profiles on, you know, a kind of electronic database on every American citizen. You know, everybody at the time said this was excessive, but the more these stories keep leaking out, the more you're left with the impression that maybe this is what the government already has.
That's a real possibility. And while Congress defunded the TIA, gosh, maybe a decade ago, it seemed to have only ended in name, and that many of the same practices continue, and that the government is routinely collecting this sorts of data. And we have very few answers about how it's going to actually be used against people.
So what then do you make of these statements from these U.S. senators like Dianne Feinstein, Saxby Chambliss, and the senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, all of whom have vigorously come to the defense of this surveillance regime and the idea that the government is getting private companies like Verizon to turn over phone records on a daily basis for the last 7 years?
Well, you know, I think there are a couple of things going on. One, folks are implying that Congress knew that this would be the type of collection activity that would happen under this authorization. And I don't think that's correct. There might be a handful of members from the intelligence committees that were in the know, but your rank and file member of Congress surely didn't contemplate these orders being used to collect everyone's phone records without any suspicion of wrongdoing. The other point, though, is just because Congress authorized it doesn't make it okay. And now is the moment to reevaluate whether this is smart intelligence gathering, whether this is worth the invasion of our privacy, and hopefully this moment won't pass them without that sort of reflection.
But it does sort of goes back to the Patriot Act, clearly, and it goes back to the panic and paranoia following 9/11 and that whole mood of confusion and lust for revenge. And there was an old joke during the Cold War by Mort Sahl, which was that the Russians just arrested an American for spying and the Americans retaliated by arresting an American for spying. And it feels like since 9/11, we've been beating up on ourselves as much as we've been beating up on al-Qaeda. So how much of this blanket surveillance is really infringing on the rights of American citizens as opposed to weeding out the bad guys?
Yeah, well, this is a perfect example of how these tools have been turned inward on us. Over the last few years, the administration has just been insisting that these very powerful tools are largely pointed outwards at people overseas who are not protected by the Constitution. But now we see what one of these orders looks like, and it clearly says purely domestic communications. That's Americans here in the U.S. speaking to other Americans, and their records are being collected right along the side of suspected bad guys. And so it doesn't seem like it's going to stop anytime soon unless Congress intervenes. The administration has spent the last 24 hours trying to justify the situation, and it doesn't seem like they are going to stop collecting this information unless someone changes the statute.
So I'm certainly not an advocate for government intrusion on its citizens, and the Fourth Amendment basically has been beaten to death, and there have been so many assaults on it that one wonders how much of it's really left. But just to be an advocate for the government, for the sake of an argument, Michelle Richardson, what would you say in defense of the idea that the government needs these tools? Because look what just happened in Boston. One of these bombers was an American citizen, the other one wasn't. But still, had they been watching these guys closer, they might have been able to prevent it.
Yeah. Well, you know, this program has been in place for 7 years, and it didn't prevent the Boston attack. They've had warrantless wiretapping. Now we know about these 215 orders. They've been spying on mosques, and it didn't prevent that attack. And the government is hard-pressed to show that actually any bad guys or terrorists are caught through these programs. And in fact, their hallmark is really collecting information on the rest of us and not the bad guys. So even from a perspective that this would be worth it if it worked, there's no evidence that it does.
So what would you suggest our audience do? I mean, you know, we spend so much time delivering bad news, and it tends to paralyze our audience. And I'm sure a lot of people are upset by this latest revelation today from the Guardian newspaper, which has brought about these press conferences that you were telling us about on Capitol Hill with senators defending what the government's been up to for the last 7 years. But I'm sure most of our listeners are pretty appalled that the government's been doing this for the last 7 years. What can a citizen do, in other words?
Well, right now, it would be most helpful if they would reach out to their congresspeople and their senators and let them know that they're outraged about this and they want a fix to the Patriot Act so the government can no longer spy on innocent Americans. And I think once Congress hears from the public, and it hasn't before because we haven't had hard proof, that maybe they'll consider actually putting some significant and meaningful privacy protections into the law.
Well, Michelle Richardson, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Michelle Richardson, who is a legislative counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union Washington Legislative Office, where she focuses on national security issues such as the Patriot Act, warrantless surveillance and state secrets, open government and congressional accountability and oversight. Before coming to the ACLU, Michelle Richardson served as counsel to Representative John Conyers Jr. and the House Judiciary Committee, where she specialized in national security, civil and human rights, and constitutional issues for the Democratic staff. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about increasing tensions between Syria and Israel on the Golan Heights.
I'm looking for a sign. I'm looking for the treason that I knew in '65. Beware the savage.